Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. 2022. I just felt like saying that. This happy new year to all of you who are just excited. Blessed to be in this position. I'm just blessed to have Bianca with us. And family. Family is so important. As 2021 had a lot of loss. We know 2022, there are going to be some challenges, but we're going to continue to lift up the name of Jesus and to just stay in his presence. I want to thank you so much for staying connected with us through ebcnc.com. Just all the Bible studies that are there, our services that are there. God has just blessed us tremendously. And I just want to encourage you to stay edified, stay in the Word of God. Also, thank you for your prayers for our 8:45 service in person and our 10:45 in person and our 10 o'clock online. That God just continue to save souls and just bring them to the knowledge of the truth of Him. That's what it's all about. More souls to be saved and the saints growing in the Lord. I want to thank you for your giving, however you have reached out to us, whether it's using that Tithely app or you're sending it in our secure mailbox or you're in our in-person services. Thank you for your giving. But remember, God loves a cheerful giver, someone who gives from their heart. And it's just not in that physical monetary, but it's also reaching out, texting people, small group studies, loving on each other. That's what it's about, encouraging, giving a part of yourself. And again, as we are preparing ourselves to get back into this series on distractions of fears, I'm telling you, there have been a lot of distractions in 2021. They're going to be even more in 2022. But guess what? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're going to talk about that a little later. Well, I just want to prepare our hearts as we are getting ready to jump in a word that the Lord put on my heart. We love you guys. See you soon.
Good morning, church. Good morning. This morning, the scripture is going to come from 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever loves his brother is a murderer. I'm sorry, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. May the Lord add a blessing to his word.
Every song I sing, I'm gonna sing it
in the name of Jesus.
Yes, I am. Pick it up. Every step I make, I'm gonna make it
in the name of Jesus.
The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little higher.
Ooh, ooh.
Every song I sing, I'm gonna sing it
in the name of Jesus.
Yes, I am. Every song I sing, I'm gonna sing it
in the name of Jesus.
The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little
higher.
Ooh, ooh. Every prayer I pray,
oh, yeah.
gonna pray it in the name of Jesus. Yes, I am. Every prayer I pray, I'm gonna pray it in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little higher. I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Yeah, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
I'm gonna make it,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still, I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
Feels make it high,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
Valleys make it low,
gonna make it for Jesus.
Still I gotta make it,
gonna make it for the Lord.
The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little Yes, I am. Every prayer I pray,
I pray,
I'm gonna sing it in the name of Jesus. The reason why, because every round goes, it gets a little
God Almighty. Man, I'm just blessed to know who Christ is. And I know you're blessed to know who Christ is and to be saved and walking in Him. As we're into this new year, I want you to realize the enemy is still going to be coming at us, maybe even more. The scriptures actually say that as the time gets shorter, as the enemy sees that his time is not long, he's going to step up his attacks. You feel that? That's why I believe God has put on my heart to go through this series of distractions and fears. And we're right back in it today. I pray that you've got that memory scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to hold on to that. That's going to be one of your weapons as the enemy comes at you. Well, I'm just thinking about the scriptures that we're going to be in today, and we're just going to walk through. And this is going to be a self-examination to prepare us to walk this year in victory in Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for who you are, Lord. Thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, for giving us this virtual platform to reach out. And Lord, I pray that your spirit be strong, that you'll touch those who are listening, who are viewing, Father God. Lord, I pray that if there's someone that's not saved, let today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. I pray that they receive that gift today. Now, Holy Spirit, please forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Make this word, please, so plain that even a child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. You can say amen. You can type it in the chat. Amen. Today, we want to look at a particular portion of scripture, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And I want to start reading at that 18th verse. Acts chapter 8. Starting at that 18th verse. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now, I want to stop right there. I want us to make sure we're on the same page and we've got the right Simon here. This is actually Simon Magnus or Simon the Sorcerer. This is not Simon Peter. This is Simon the Sorcerer. And that Acts 8:19, it says, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. I want to speak from the title today, The Flesh and the Spirit. The Flesh and the Spirit. I tell you, as we go through these scriptures, we're going to be looking at our flesh and we're going to be looking at the Spirit of God and how these two fight in war, even in the believers. Yes, those who love the Lord, distractions and fears are constantly bombarding us, coming our way. Today's context time frame comes about 35 AD. We have two principal characters that we're going to be talking about today. Simon the Sorcerer, already introduced him from other scripts outside of the biblical text. His name was Simon Magnus, most theologians believe. And we're also going to pick up this other person. His name is Philip. Yes, Philip. For those Bible scholars, those are going through the Bible, our Bible reading plan, you remember Philip is one of the first deacons. And that deacon meant to serve. Remember, they were brought forth so the apostles could be more in the word and more in prayer. And they were just supposed to keep the tables together, clean the tables, keep the ladies that were different fractions of family had fallen out, and they were to rise up. And one of the biggest things that they were supposed to have was to be full of the Holy Spirit. That means they were supposed to be loving the Lord with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and submitting themselves to the leadership of God. This is Philip. Now, Philip is being used in a wonderful, wonderful way. He's given an opportunity to minister to the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that. And because of that, theologians believe the gospel is taken back to Africa. And so God just using people. And then we see a miracle at the end of that evangelism act that Philip is actually, he's picked up supernaturally. Most historians, theologians believe this. God does an amazing thing. And he gets right back on the mission field, sharing the gospel of Jesus the Christ. With this thought pattern, I want us to jump into Acts 8:4. I want us to look at how God is using Philip, but also we're going to be introduced to this person, Simon Magnus. Acts 8:4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, the back set is at this point that God has allowed persecution to come. The principal people, leaders of the church at that time, had been scattered. Believers had been scattered. And this is actually a good thing. What the enemy meant for their harm, God had already turned for the good. Yes, he scattered. It's kind of like throwing out seed. And so now those who are loving the Lord are pushed to other areas. This is our first point of the day. And this is very significant as we're in this new year, as we're walking in our lives. Christ must be lifted up. Christ must be lifted up. Now, I know the question may come, what does this truly mean? What does it mean to lift Christ up? Is it just an act of coming to a physical service or looking at a virtual service or clapping our hands? Or some may be viewing and you're like, lift up Christ? That's interesting. Am I supposed to somehow physically grab Jesus, the Messiah, and lift him up? So let's answer this by looking at what the scriptures say about lifting up Christ, this evangelism push. Paul the Apostle, he answered this as he is led of the Spirit to really help us to understand this lifting up Christ, what the gospel is all about, to lift up the good news of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:3 said, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures." Now, that is the principal point here. We're lifting up Christ. We have to tell about his death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, the flesh and the spirit." Now, this is critical. This is critical because as I see how the days are going and even how the enemy is attacking the church, it seems to be less talk about the burial, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is integral. This is important. This is the miracle of all miracles. And to know that he's seated on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and to realize that there is a war, as we said before, between the flesh and the spirit. Jesus taught in John 12:32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw peoples," or all peoples, "to myself." That 33rd verse, "This he said, signifying by what death he would die." So that cross, the act of going to the cross, where we're going to get to at the end of this message, that meant that there was a drawing. He was our sacrifice. He was the propitiation for our sins. And without that sacrifice, there ought to be some shouts of thanksgiving. Without that sacrifice, our home would be hell, not heaven. But thank God that he took our sins on that cross of Calvary. We're talking about the flesh and the spirit. Philip, the evangelist, he's going out, he's sharing this gospel, its power. The Holy Spirit is moving in an amazing way. Acts 8:6. "And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed." Acts 8:8. "And there was great joy in the city." Here's another point. Living in the Spirit brings joy. Yes, living in the Spirit brings joy. I find this interesting, even at this point. You know, we've gone in the new year. Many celebrated, were excited. They were joyous, or at least it looked at. It was really just an emotional happiness. Joy goes deeper than happiness. Joy is with us because we are saved and we have been delivered. This point is living in the Spirit. It brings joy. And that is so important to note within our lives. No matter what tests we go through, what struggles we go through, the loss that we experience, there should always be joy. I still have joy. Remember that song? That is so important. Galatians 5:22 really gives us the picture. This is a fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, there it is, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, 5:23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Philip is walking in this, and he's bringing the good news. He's bringing the gospel, and therefore people are being saved, delivered, and set free. God is using him in all types of miracles, casting out demons, healing of the sick. Great joy is amongst the people because now there is a light in the midst of their darkness. Philip is walking what Christ laid out in John 14:12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also," or "do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." The flesh and the spirit. As we are in 2022, I want you to ask yourself at this point, how will I be used of the Father? Yes, how is the Holy Spirit going to work through me? Are you just satisfied with where you are? But I'm telling you, God wants to take us up a little higher. He wants us to be separated more for his glory. He wants us to take some risks through faith and stepping out, speaking to some associates and sharing Christ and living the life more of this separated life of holiness for him, the flesh and the spirit. Look at this, how this story continues on. Acts 8:9, "But there was a certain man called Simon."
This is Simon Magus, that he is a sorcerer who practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Acts 8:10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Here's another point. Works of the flesh. I told you we had to introduce Philip the evangelist and to see the extraordinary things that God was doing him, to see that spiritual side. But now it is an amazing thing how God through his spirit pivots and gives us this other side of the story. We come encounter with someone that is working out of the flesh, works of the flesh. It is important to know that Simon the sorcerer, truly, he is not connected with a spirituality of the Lord, but he's connected to the dark side of the enemy. He's distracted by the rewards of the enemy. And I'm telling you, the enemy can give some rewards. Let me show you. Galatians 5:19 talks about these works of the flesh, talking about the flesh and the spirit. Now, the works of the flesh are, listen to this, evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Galatians 5:20, idolatry, and there it is, sorcery. Yes, sorcery, all parts of the flesh. And so when the flesh begins to work and the enemy with distractions and fear is coming at people, this is, all of these things are a part of that same source: hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The flesh and the spirit. Now, this is serious. As we are in this new year and we're challenged by distractions and fears, we have a very concise list of the things that can show us when we're in the flesh. Yes, we need to make sure first and foremost that we've got the gospel, that we have confessed our sins, and that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And every day as we walk with him, as we're in prayer and we're reading the scriptures, there's going to be a change on the inside of us. But also we'll be able to see when the enemy trips us up, or we'll be able to see also when people aren't saved, because they will be walking in the flesh. Somebody asked, was Simon the sorcerer, was he really doing just magic tricks? Or was this significant? Was something really happening beyond what we can physically say was sleight of hand? I want to show you something. Here is some scriptures of the Old Testament that will let us know that the occult and witchcraft are real. Yes, yes, yes. I'm telling you, don't want to play with that. The occult and witchcraft are real. You're saying, Pastor, just give me a section to prove that. Remember Moses, when he went before Pharaoh, God had blessed him with this rod. And this rod, he could throw it down, it would turn into a snake. And this was real. This was real. This was God all powerful working in his life. But Exodus 17 shows us something that's very significant, talking about the flesh and the spirit. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. All right, so God shows up. Aaron is Moses' brother. They're using this rod, Exodus 7:11. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Somebody say sorcerers. You don't have to type it out, but just say sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. I want to read that again because you got to get this. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Now, this is important to know. God's rod thrown down turns into a snake. Man, this is God. He's moving, but the works of the flesh, they had gotten so deep in the enemy's camp, they had actually got into enchantments. And I don't know how all that worked, but there were arts that they had got into that were of the enemy, of the devil, and they were able to throw down their rods and turn into snakes. But Exodus 7:12 really gets us to understand understanding when the flesh tries to rise up and overcome the spirit. It said, for every man threw down his rod and they became serpents. But listen, this butt is big. It says, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Isn't that good? This is so important. As that contradiction comes in there, everybody had their rods down, but it said, but Aaron's rod swallowed up the other rods, because God is all powerful, and we must understand we need to submit ourselves more and more to God's spirit and his movement, the flesh and the spirit. Look at Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, this is a big point. I want you to get this one. Simon believes and is baptized. Yes, Simon believes and is baptized. Now, I want you to look at this, because theologians have struggled with this. Simon is deep in the occult. He's deep in witchcraft. Philip is being used powerfully of God, and he's showing signs and wonders. People are receiving the Holy Spirit in a powerful and anointed way. And now Simon Magnus, he believes that, you know what, this is God Almighty, and that belief takes him into being baptized. Let me show you again, Acts 8:13. I want us to pull out some. Himself also believed, very important. He was baptized, and also he continued with Philip and was amazed. I think this is very important, seeing the miracles and signs which were done, the flesh and the spirit. We must be careful. We must always be in awe of the great things that God is doing. But when we find ourselves just amazed and not changed, there's a problem. I'm finding out that so many people are following after. They want to see things. They want circus shows, and they want God to show up and show out, and he has. But I'm telling you, some of the biggest miracles happen when you wake up in the morning, man. When you can understand that you are you, and you have another breath that you can take within your lungs, and you can think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done. I'm telling you, that's something to begin to celebrate. But within here, Simon the sorcerer, that we believe has been changed, he's amazed at these miracles. We cannot forget his former life. We cannot forget where he's been brought from, we believe. But could there be, I'm going to give you some thought pattern here, could people actually believe and be baptized but not be saved? Oh, there's somebody out there thinking and processing through that. Please understand, all we can see is an outward showing. Please, we realize that. And so many times people can say, I believe, and they can be baptized, but they haven't been changed on the inside. There's a concern here. Notice Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, 8:15, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon, are you with me? When Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Somebody say money. And saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. And another point, the flesh. Yes, the flesh. Now, this is challenging. This is challenging because there's so much that's not revealed within the scripture. All we know is that he believed, that's Simon the sorcerer. He believed, he was baptized, and he follows after Philip, and he's amazed by the miracles. He's amazed by the authority, the power that he's seeing. And now we find out in this supernatural manner in this early church, because they were going into territories that had never heard of Christ, that when the apostle came, they laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. Spirit, and there was actually assurance of a change on the inside of them. Maybe they reverted back to earlier in Acts, and they were able to speak in other languages, and praise God, because remember, there were many sections of people that were coming, and they had different languages. Maybe God was showing, but there was a physical manifestation of this that was so strong that Simon saw this. Look closely here in that Acts 8:18, and when Simon saw... We talked about distractions and fear often come with that predominant eyesight. We see something and we won't. That through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. He offered them money. Yes, yes, yes. He so quickly reverts back to his old ways. We must wonder, had there been a true conversion on the inside? But when we look at ourselves, we must also ask ourselves the question, how many times have we gone back quickly to our old ways? There ought to be some ouches in the house. How many times has God done so much for us and opened up our eyes and we've sensed the Holy Spirit, but yet we found ourselves on the dark side? We found ourselves in places that we should not be. I'm talking about the flesh and the spirit. Acts 8:19, notice he says, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. The flesh and the spirit, as we're in this year, we must realize it's all by God's grace and his mercy. And sadly, even in the house of the Lord, we can have power hungry people. They just want to do the works of God without being transformed on the inside. They just want to be shown and be lifted up. But please understand, we understood from the first scriptures, Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. It's not about men and women drawing people to themselves, but it's about pointing them to the cross of Calvary and letting them know it's about Jesus that's been our sacrifice. I'm talking about the flesh and the spirit. What do you do? What do you do at this point when you come upon this? You've got Philip the evangelist. He's being used. Now Peter's being introduced to this. Notice Acts 8:20, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. 8:21, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Wow. Here's another point. The flesh and the spirit don't mix. Yeah, it's the flesh and the spirit don't mix. It's like trying to mix oil and water. They just won't mix. There's always a definite picture that something, a semblance. The oil will always be oil and the water will always be. It's hard to mix that. Even with salad dressing, you got oil and water. And if you let it sit long enough, the oil will separate from that water portion and you got to shake it up. Please understand, the flesh and the spirit don't mix. Now, this is important. God has allowed these powerhouses to come, and I use that because the Holy Spirit is using them in such a powerful way, from Philip to Peter to the apostles, laying on of hands, souls being saved, demons cast out, all of this. But Simon the sorcerer, now he wants that power, and he doesn't want to get it by transformation. He wants to get it by purchasing. Yes, he's got his money that he's earned from his old life, and now he wants to take that money and purchase the power of God. Are you with me? Galatians 5:16, it says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we choose not to walk in the spirit, our flesh will rise up, and the enemy will come at us with distractions and fears. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. There's a war that's going on. And the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, the flesh and the spirit. At that moment, Simon, he comes to his self, his old self, and the sorcerer part of him. He says, I got money. I want to buy it. Look at this scripture, Acts 8:20. But Peter sets him right. I believe in today's world, as we're walking, we need people to stand up for Christ and just tell it like it is. is we become so sensitive or secret sensitive in our lives so that we don't want to tell the truth because we don't want to offend anybody. But I'm telling you, if the word of God is coming with power, sometimes it is going to offend you. Sometimes it's going to cut. It said the word of God is sharper than two-edged sword, cutting forward and backward. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. Notice there's an exclamation there. Peter is serious about this. Peter, we talked about him on last Sunday. Peter has gone through so much. He loves the Lord. He knows what it is to fail, but he has a discernment. He said, this is not right. This is the enemy coming in with distractions and fear. Look at Acts 8:21, and he says something very powerful. He said, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Saints of God, as we're dealing with this title, the flesh and the spirit, I want you to ask yourself, is my heart right? Is my heart right in the sight of God? So many times we can fool other people. So many times we can bamboozle those that are around us. But I'm telling you, you can't fool God. God knows what you do out of the public sight. He knows what you do in the midnight hours. He knows the thoughts of your mind, the intents of your heart. And Peter tells this Simon the sorcerer, your heart is not right. You got it all wrong. Could we be in a season and time that there's so much we have embraced that's all wrong, but it's all about getting into the word of God and realizing that God's grace and mercy is abundant and he wants us to draw closer to him. I'm talking about the flesh and the spirit. Let's get these final verses kind of pulling this together. Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Somebody say repent. You can put that in the chat. Repent, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. I just want to slow down here at this point. Yeah, we're talking about the flesh and the spirit. Peter calls out, he's being led of the spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is all in him. It's oozing out of him. At this point, he is giving a rebuke to this new so-called believer who was baptized. And he says something that's tremendous. Have you ever heard this in the house of the Lord? Have you ever heard a pastor say to a parishioner, I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity? No, we don't hear stuff like that. Like that. I'm telling you, people would walk out and they would just disband or what was going on. But I'm so glad for the Peters in the world that can see it, be moved by God's spirit and call it out. Notice Acts 8:24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. Here's a big point, final point, because I'm telling you, all of this brings us to a climactical ending. Repent and make a change. Yes, repent and make a change. Peter, man, the lead apostle, man, he speaks these words. He said, you've got bitterness on the inside of you. You're caught up in iniquity. You're poisoned. The enemy is still in you. The enemy has still distracted you. Fears are all encompassing you. And because you're making the wrong decision and you're playing with stuff that you need to stay away from, this is not your old life. This is the supreme God. This is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Simon, you need to get this right. And Simon the sorcerer, he is so moved by this. Notice he says, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. But we got to tell people, we got to repent and we got to make a change. And even in our lives, we've got to be quick to repent and make a change. If there's some sin as you carry it over into 2022, I'm telling you, you need to repent real quick. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That 1 John 1:10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Saints of God, we must examine ourselves because distractions and fears, hang-ups have been in our lives. And some of us have made resolutions that we're going to lay down some stuff, but I'm telling you, could that have been a lie also? We've got to come to the point, say, God, if it had not been for you on our side, we first need to embrace the fact that all of us have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then where do we go from there? We've got to realize it's all been about Jesus. It's all been about that sacrifice of Christ going to the Garden of Gethsemane, that sacrifice of Christ being betrayed by Judas Iscariot, that sacrifice of Christ going down the Via Dolorosa, being beaten and spit on for us, that sacrifice of Christ taking on a cross on his back and making his way up to Calvary, that sacrifice of Christ, nails, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet, that sacrifice of Christ so that we could understand that the Spirit could overcome the flesh. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus became our sacrifice. Jesus became sin for us. Please understand, he never sinned, but on that cross, he took all of our sin. There ought to be some shouts of praise when you recognize that we were worse than Simon the sorcerer. We made some terrible decisions. We wanted some bad situations, but I'm so glad for the blood of Jesus that he dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold tomb, but there ought to be some shouts of praise. You will not find him there. He got up on the third day with all power and all glory, and now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. There ought to be some shouts of praise. As we go through this year, we got a God that's praying for us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to overcome our flesh by the Spirit. But saints, it's not going to happen by osmosis. You're not just going to be able to put your Bible or your device beside your head and expect those scriptures to get on the inside. It's going to take getting into the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, praying to God Almighty, worshiping him and praising him and letting him know that he is everything in your life. And then the Spirit of God rises up on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, God takes you on missions to do more than you ever thought that you could do, all because it's all about Jesus. It's all about his power, his anointing. It's all about what Christ, the anointed one, has done for us. The flesh and the Spirit. Man, there's so many struggles within our lives. But I want you to know, as we go into 2022, we're already here. God wants more for the believers. He wants more from us. He wants more. He wants more. He wants a closer relationship. He wants more prayer. He wants more scripture reading. He wants us to understand him more. He wants us to take the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection to those that are around. He wants us to live the life, not just one day of the week, but 24 hours, 7 days. He wants us to walk in that power and anointing. You say, Pastor, can God still do miracles? Yes, he can. I've seen him do it. But it's going to take a consecrated life, because remember, Simon, that sorcerer, he tried to buy it. You can't buy it. You got to live it. You got to submit yourself and know that it's all about God. Oh, could our society be caught up in this poisonous attitude? Could poison have begun to seep over even to the places that we call worship? Oh, that we repent, that God forgive us. Oh, that we confess our sins quickly, that we may be cleansed. And we can discern between the flesh and the Spirit and be used in miraculous ways. Man, if you're listening today and you've been touched, you don't know Christ, confess him right now. Romans 10, that whole chapter is so powerful. It talks about the Jews and what they had to go through and what the righteousness of faith is all about. But that the ninth verse talks about, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and you will be saved. Oh, that is such good news, to know that God is still in the saving business. And then it goes on, it says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. No, it's not about the things that you can do or the money that you have or where you came from. It's about God's grace. Ephesians 2:8, it talks about this. For it says that it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Yes, that's what he wants us to do. It's not what we can do, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are his workmanship. It's not about what we can do. It's all about what he had done. So today, examine yourself. If you are a saint, a believer, you've been baptized, I tell you, I challenge you. Simon, he believed, he was baptized, but yet he was still in deep darkness. Man, I see that so often. But let the day be your day that you repent. Say, God, change me. I want to be better for you. I've got some old ways that, God, I need you to take away from me. And I'm telling you, he's faithful and just, scriptures say, to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Ah, he's so good. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your mercies and your kindness and your love, your scriptures that are so powerful, Lord, that we can balance them. We can go from one book to another, and we can pull up those scriptures to get a total view of who you are, God, and how awesome you are. Lord, help us in this season, in this time, not to be succumbed to the distractions and the fears of the enemy, but God, help us to grow in the Spirit. Help us to realize that you are coming back soon, Lord, that all of us have an appointed time that we must see you. But Lord, while you have left us here, help us to walk more in you. Use us for your glory, that more souls will be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. Father, I give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Together, and I'm just glad on this first Sunday in 2022 that we can share in communion one with another. If you were with us on Friday night, we had communion by the fire, but it's just so good to celebrate it again. It says, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of him. First of all, I want you to get your articles, your bread, your juice. I want you to prepare yourself. And I want you to examine yourself to see if there's any ought, if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, man, let that go. If it's towards someone, man, try to give them a call, text them, say, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Whatever you need to do to make sure that you're not carrying anything. Even before we started, I was like, Bianca, we good? Is there anything? And she's like, yeah, we good. Because I don't want to take this in an unworthy manner, which we're going to talk about even further. So as you're getting prepared, we're getting prepared, I'm just going to ask Bianca to just open us up in prayer. And even go ahead and pray for the bread and juice, and we will go into the scriptures that our hearts can be prepared to take it. Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for allowing us to make it to 2022. And we praise you and thank you, most importantly, for the gift of communion, Father, because it is because of your Son, Jesus, his blood and his body that was broken and shed for us that we enter into this covenant with you, represented by the juice. Father, we ask that you bless the juice. And we ask that you would bless the bread that represents his body, that we might sanctify ourselves unto you, Lord, to remember the sacrifice that you made through your Son. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our biggest challenge, as we talked about in the message, the flesh and the spirit, there's a war going on, but we definitely want to be in the spiritual realm as we recognize what Christ has done for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23, very powerful, those verses that we talk about so much, give us an understanding of what communion is all about. Paul the Apostle, being led of the Lord, said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then it said, "In like manner," or the same manner, "he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Notice it continues to come out. Remember me. Remember me. And that's where our thought patterns have to be. In 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come." He's coming back. It's getting closer and closer. And we can see that by the enemy stepping up, throwing distractions and fears. But we're preparing our self through this communion. This next part, 1 Corinthians 11:27.
"Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord."
But this whole process is huge. We don't want to be guilty, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We talked about that examination to make sure there's nothing in our hearts that there's nothing that we're holding against anybody. This next part brings this up again, this 29th verse.
"For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body."
This is critical. We don't want judgment. Amen, amen's out there. We don't want judgment, so we want to eat this in the proper manner. And then that 1 Corinthians 11:30, this, I really want you to focus in on the scripture. It says, "For this reason, many are weak and sick amongst us, and many sleep." That's the judgment that we don't. We do not want that. We don't want that guilt. We don't want that judgment, because we want to take this and recognizing who Christ is and what he's doing in us and what he's done for us. But this 1 Corinthians 11:31 lets us realize, okay, how do I stay out of this?
"For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged."
Amen. So let's judge ourselves. Let's look closely. Be honest. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9 talks about that. Very powerful. And then this last one, it says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world." We have a good Father, and he corrects us, he gets us right, and thank God for that. That shows that he loves us. So today, as we think about the body, as we think about the blood, Jesus Christ goes in the upper room right before the Passover. It's actually Passover time, right before the crucifixion. And the disciples, they don't understand what's going on. They don't understand that the sacrificial lamb is actually sitting in front of them. He picks up the bread and he breaks it. He says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as we eat together, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." He picks up that goblet that would be shared around the table amongst them. And I love it. It's always amazing to me that God, he makes his grapes bleed red. And he had to do that. He was like, you know what? My son's going to sit at a table and he's going to need a representation of his blood. So this represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. As often as we drink, let us do it in remembrance of him. Are you glad to be saved? Hallelujah. Just to be saved and know who Christ is. I challenge you, as you go forth in these months, I want you to be in love with the Lord more than you ever been. I want you to get in scriptures more than you've ever been reading them. I want you to meditate. I want you to memorize scripture. I want you to pray. I want you to worship him. I want you to praise him. Set aside more extended time to be in the presence of the Lord. Because of his sacrifice, his body, his blood, we have been set free. Well, we love you. And until we meet again, you be blessed.